Good morning. Hope everyone's doing great today. Happy Wednesday. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time. We get to look into your word. And help us, Lord, to ever be mindful of what your promises and your, Lord, I just don't, I feel a great need is in store for us that we need your guidance on, and that you help us every day with all that we need. And thank you so much for your word and for this, for all the things that we learn from it. May we continue to be ever faithful and indulgent in learning your word and doing it faithfully. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. That was a kind of a weird prayer. I wasn't sure what to say. And sometimes it just kind of got to let it flow and not try to concentrate on one particular thing. So, starting on chapter 46, we're still kind of concentrating now on this priest, I mean, the prince, and some of these, the things he's going to be doing and duties he has in the temple. And it centers a lot around the feast, so I thought I would just review with you real quick. These feasts, the six major feasts of the Jewish calendar. And so I'm going to start off that way, since we're going to be at the temple, our Millennium Temple, kind of like this picture. I'll use this as our backdrop. And let's get some verses up here. And we'll put me back up here in the corner. Starting in verse 46, thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut 6 working days, for on the Sabbath it shall be open, and the days of the new moon it shall be open. I decided to further down we get into this this area of the feast, and so I just stuck these feasts in here. That doesn't necessarily, well, actually talk about some of these feasts as we go through. I'm going to try to get through 11 verses today. Thought start right off the bat and just say what these feasts were and kind of why they're celebrated, at least the ones I know of. And the first one is Passover. It's the first one of the year. It's in April, typically. It's the 14th of April. And of course, it celebrates the Exodus from Egypt and the famous passing over of the death angel of the Jews in Egypt. And we see this particular one mentioned in quite a few places, but one place is in Leviticus. Leviticus 23 has all the major ones listed in it. So 23:6, or 5 and 6. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So that's it. That's Passover. Starts on the 14th of April. And April became their first month. It's the first month of the Jewish calendar. And the next one, and that's a required feast for all able-bodied men to attend who are able to in Jerusalem at the temple. So the reason I'm bringing these up is that these are going to be required feasts that we're going to have to adhere to during the Millennium Kingdom also. And that I think that at least certain ones of the year have to be attended by all male personnel that can physically get to. And I don't see reason why when it comes to this one that everybody can't make it. Well, I guess we'll have to see what the Lord's instructions are on that. But according to this, we'll all be there for these. So I'm not sure how we're going to fit the entire planet in Jerusalem, but I'm sure the Lord has a way. The next one is Pentecost, another required feast. And this is on the 6th of June. It celebrates the giving of the law. And for us in the church, it celebrates the first day of our of the beginning of the church there in Acts 2. The original Pentecost is shown in Leviticus 23:15 and 16. And it shall come unto you for tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So 7 weeks after the first wave offering, even unto tomorrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So this is Pentecost. And it's interesting that the first Pentecost for the church happened. Remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was on Passover that happened. And that 40 days later, he left the earth to go to heaven. And then on Pentecost, the 50th day after his crucifixion, is when the men were in the room there in Acts, and they received the Holy Spirit. And that's a required feast also. Okay, the next one is the Feast of Trumpets. It's on the 1st of October. So this is the fall feast. This is the one that gets a lot of controversy when it comes to people want to try to make this one out to be something to do with the rapture, but it doesn't. This is a Jewish festival. The rapture has nothing to do with just the Jewish nation. Don't try to get confused and try to listen to these ideas it has to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. That's a theory out there, but the rapture can happen any day of the year. And we see this over in Leviticus 23:24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month, so ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. And so I'm not sure why they celebrate this one. I couldn't find a reason for listed as to why they celebrate that one. Okay, the next one is Tabernacles. And Tabernacles is the last of the three required ones. It's also known as the booths. It's typically a week long. It's from 15 to 22 October. And it celebrates the wilderness wanderings, the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. And so everybody actually sleeps outdoors in these booths they built. And the requirement is that they're kind of like acting like they were in the wilderness. The booths that they set up are actually, you have to be able to see the stars. So the roofs aren't really covered. So hopefully it don't rain that week. And we see it over in Leviticus 23:34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And the last two are kind of fun ones. Completely, but I never realized that it was on Christmas Day. The one called Dedication. It's on the 25th of December. And it celebrates, I guess, that the Syrians had somehow desecrated the temple. And they reconstituted the temple, and they celebrate that day. And we see this over in, it's not in the Old Testament. It's in John 10:22. We see a reference for it. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. That's about all we know about that one. And the last one is the fun one, mainly because they dress up. It's almost a little bit like Halloween, but in a good way. And it's called the Feast of Purim. And it's in March. It's the 14th to the 15th of March. So it's really close to Pentecost. I mean, Passover, just before Passover. And it's actually, if you've ever read Esther and you study Esther, it was to celebrate the deliverance from Haman, who was out to destroy the Jewish nation. And of course, Esther, through her cunning ability and prayer and fasting of all the Jewish people, are able to change the king's mind on destroying all the Jews. And so Haman was ended up being hung on the gallows that he built to kill the Jews. This one we see listed over, it's actually in Esther. We see this one. And it's in Esther 9:17 through 19. On the 13th day of month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rest of the day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of ascending portions one to another. And also in verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, they should make them days of feasting and joy, ascending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Sounds a little bit like our Christmas. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, which had come unto them. So those are the feasts. And I thought it'd just be a little fun to see those different feasts, because somehow we're going to be involved with them, probably, in the Millennium Kingdom. Because at least three of them are required, and the reason I decided to list them is that's going to be mentioned during the study today. So let me go back to 46:1 and just to review where we're at. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the seventh, on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. And talking about working days, over in Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And I think it's an important aspect, too, to remember that you'll hear people talk about it. We should celebrate the Sabbath on the Sabbath, which happens to be Saturday. But we hear from, and that's a very Jewish thing, because the Jews actually, Friday night at 6 o'clock until Saturday night at 6 o'clock, don't lift a finger for anything. And that all their meals are prepared ahead of time. They don't work. They don't do any kind of manual labor. And they still do that to this day, the really dedicated Orthodox Jews. But Jesus went on to say in his teachings in the New Testament that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And he doesn't definitively say that it has to be a certain day of the week. It's more symbolic that it's important for us to rest, and that we should pick a day each week to rest. And I think it doesn't really matter which day of the week it is, whatever day you set aside to rest. As you know, in this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week world we live in, you can't always pick Friday to Saturday. And of course, Sunday is our worship day. And that's a little different. It's not replacing the Sabbath, in my opinion. We worship the Lord on Sundays. We should worship the Lord every day, but we set aside Sundays to get to gather together and to worship Him as a group, based on the fact that He rose from the dead, and was His resurrection was on Sunday, the first day of the week. Okay, Ezekiel 46:2. And a prince shall enter by the way of the porch of thy gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate, then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. And let me show you that what we're talking about here. Again, the east gate is this one over here. You can see my cursor. So this is the inner gate, the east gate. This is where, get the verse out of the way for a second. So that basically David, when he got, the prince, when he comes, he'll be coming in through this, this gate. And that gate will be shut 6 days a week, Even though David will still be here, this is kind of like his office almost, because he eats here. He'll be in this part. So at least what the scripture says. But it says in this verse too, as I just pointed out, that they by the prince without. Let me bring the verse back up there. Notice it says, "And shall worship at the threshold." Oh, let me get the bigger version. Worship at the threshold of the gate, and he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until, let me see where it is in here. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate without, okay? That word without basically means from the outside is what it basically means. So he'll be coming in from this way and coming into the temple. If you notice, you got a wall here all the way around. So, I mean, you have to come in from somewhere. And so it seems like this gate is only going to be allowed because God came through this gate to come into the temple, that the only other person that's going to use this gate is the prince. So I'll get the verses back up here. And so verse 3. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate. By the way, I jumped to Ezekiel 44:3, where it talks about the prince and what and his duties and what he'll be doing at a temple. Shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. So that's going to be a prince's entry and exit point. Back to 46:3. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbath and new moons. Remember, we already talked about that the people are actually going to come in, either from the, see my cursor over here, come in from this side and go out this side, or they're going to come in from this side, so you'll have a worship and leave by that side. So that's what so that's the way they're going to be worshiping. At the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbath and in the new moons. So I think what basically it's saying is that the people are going to be in this general area worshiping the Lord. Will be in here, of course. Okay. Before the Lord in the Sabbath and in the new moons. We hear this talked about over in talking about the people. It mentioned that over in Luke 1:10 too. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Now, if you remember back when we were talking about the incense is being burned in the temple back in Jesus' time, inside here, inside the holy place. I don't have a cutaway version today. But this building here is divided in two. You get the Holy of Holies, which is the back half, basically in this area here. Then the front portion is a holy place. And there's an incense burner there that was burning incense. And those are the prayers of the saints. And while the priests are doing this duty on the inside, the people are outside praying at the same time. And in this particular verse in Luke is talking about Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's father. He was working in the temple. He was a priest, and it was his turn to be working in the temple when he received word from the Lord, or from the angel, via about the fact that that his wife, in her old age, was going to have a son, which ended up being John the Baptist. It's a good reference of what the people were doing outside during this. Okay, Ezekiel 46:4. And the burnt offerings that the prince shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and all the solemn of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. And this is also a reference in the Old Testament period of time in Numbers 28, 9, and 10. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So everyone got to wonder that you can look at either the ones, the temple that was in operation in the Old Testament was getting ready to worship the Lord in the New Testament, and the Millennial Temple, or the Millennial Temple is just celebrating and showing the new people the honor and the reasoning behind these different festivals and this and the Sabbath and that the worship of the Lord. One thing I noticed about this one is that compared to Numbers to this one, that it looks like it's about six times, about three times as much, because here they talked about only two lambs. And if we go back to verse 4 here, it says six lambs without blemish. So the number increased, and that's probably because there's more people that are going to be here, more priests that are going to be receiving their substance, their food from the sacrifice. Okay, Ezekiel 46:5. And the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, and a meat offering for the lambs, as it shall be able to give, and a hin of oil to an ephah. This one I had to study quite a bit. An ephah for a ram, it's defined over in Numbers 28:12. Here in 28:12, and the 3/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one bullock, and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one ram. I think what this basically is, and we'll see here in Leviticus and Deuteronomy too, Leviticus 14:21, and if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil. And Deuteronomy explains it even better. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. So I think what they're defining here in verse 5 is that what can be a substitution for a ram, or what can be a substitution for a lamb. As we go forward here, you're going to see that there's going to be a different. So an ephah of a meat offering can be flour mixed with oil, basically, to represent the ram. So I'm starting to think, I'm starting to wonder if maybe animal sacrifice isn't necessarily going to be happening, but that they're going to symbolically replace it with some sort of a meat that'll represent the animal. I could be wrong there for sure, because it sure sounds like it's going to be regular sacrifice. As we go further, you'll see more. And the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and six lambs and a ram, and they shall be without blemish. See, there it doesn't show anything, any substitutions. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock, an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs accordingly as his hand shall obtain unto, and a hin of oil to an ephah. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of the gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof. So again, re-emphasizing that he comes and goes by the east gate. 46:9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feasts, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate, and he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. And I found an interesting reference on this particular verse that, and now it makes more a little bit more sense what we're reading, what we read way back in the beginning of Ezekiel. You remember how those gyroscope-looking things would only move forward or back? It almost seems like that they're representing the same thing here, is that once you come into the temple, your focus is straight ahead, and you go straight across. You don't deviate. You don't reverse yourself and go back. And it's almost symbolically doing the same thing here. This particular requirement takes us back to Ezekiel 23:14. I'm not Ezekiel, Exodus. And this is where we get that ruling about the three times a year. Oh, we saw it in verse 9 there. I talked about the solemn feast, but we'll get there's another verse that'll tell us it's three times a year. So let's talk about the so Exodus 23, 4, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee, in the time appointed of the month Abu. That's the April one. For as thou comest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. The requirement, you had to come with with an offering with you. And the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of the ingather, and the feast of the labors, that's the Pentecost, and the feast of the ingathering, that's the feast of tabernacles, which is in the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Okay, back to Ezekiel. Oh no, I'm still in Exodus. Further references. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Also in Deuteronomy 16:16, three times in the year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he had chosen. In the feast of the unleavened bread, and the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. You better bring an offering, and not come empty-handed. Over in Psalms 84:7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appearing before God. And back in Ezekiel 1 is when we saw it, this idea of going straight forward. They went everyone straight forward, whether their spirit was to go. They went, they turned not when they went. Verse 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. I'm talking about not looking back and not and always moving forward. Over in Philippians 3, brethren, starting at verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're symbolically talking about the fact that we're always looking forward and not to live in the past. And that's I know I have a lot of trouble doing that. I work on that all the time. That God has forgiven us for the past, so why dwell on it? Sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves than it is for God to forgive us. Over in Hebrews 10:38, also Paul talking here. Now the just shall live by faith. Famous verse, everybody's heard it one, at least once. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Good example of that is, you remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned around and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt, and she was strictly told not to. 2 Peter 2:20 also, Peter tells us, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. This means that if you've known the Lord and you follow the Lord and you trust in the Lord and you turn away from Him, that it almost gives you the impression that you can actually walk away from salvation. But there's plenty of other verses that say different. So I think this has to do with inheritance and gifts, not necessarily. The other passage that comes to mind is the fact that the Lord always goes after those lost sheep. and brings them back. And I am proof positive of that. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But I do think there is a certain point in time that there are certain people that may have thought they understood the truth and thought that they were saved by either good works or by the fact that they went to church or that their parents were saved. And so that's not true. Each individual person has to make that commitment themselves. Okay, back to Ezekiel 46, verse 10. And when the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. So the prince is actually going to be with them as they proceed through going in to worship and leaving again. And I found some neat verses talking about, because we're talking about David here. Remember the prince we determined that is David from the original David from 1000 BC. And even as David as a king commented about these same areas, so he hasn't changed his approach to things. We skip over to one of his Psalms, 42:4. When I remember these things, this is David speaking, way back, when he was king of Israel, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of the God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Also in Psalms 122, 1 through 4, a song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the Lord, the name of the Lord. Over in Matthew 18:20, this is the Lord speaking. For when two or three are gathered together in my name, for there I am in the midst of them. The Lord also is in the midst of us, just as David is and as Prince is. So Ezekiel 46:11, last verse for today. And in the feasts and in the summaries, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock and an ephah to a ram and to a lamb as he is able to give with a hint of oil to an ephah. So again, this kind of hints at the fact that these are substitutions for the actual animals. So I know there's quite a few people that are concerned at this particular period of time that it's going to be filled with violence as animal sacrifice is reinstated. And it does seem that way. But I think we need to realize that Lord is sovereign and he does everything he does is for a reason. And so some of this stuff we might have to wait to actually see how it comes about during this time frame. But I know it's going to be a glorious time and that everything that happens is going to be for the glory of God. And that it will be a happy time and we'll be thankful to be there. And so I don't think there's going to be anything that would be considered hard to do for us when it comes to whatever's going on. So on that note, let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for this, for your word and for showing us your word, the things that we'll be looking forward to, and that we can help us to understand exactly what some of these verses are really talking about. And you help us to understand the purpose behind them as we move forward. We look forward to this day so much, Lord. And Maranatha, we praise you and thank you so much for that day coming soon. And we'll give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we'll continue in chapter 46 tomorrow. And I just want to say to anyone who's watching, if you don't know the Lord Jesus and have not trusted in him, that you stay tuned and watch a small video, a short video. It's only a couple of minutes. It'll go through the verses, and it'll show you the verses and the pathway for you too to also get to heaven and to be with the Lord and be in that glorious place that we're all going to celebrate someday in that future home, the perfect home, with no evil and no unrighteousness, a perfect kingdom. And we're all looking forward to that day. And so please stay tuned if you don't know the Lord, and have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.